Father, we're thankful that you've given us this opportunity. We're thankful for people that feel called to go to different countries and to go through the work of learning a different language, a different culture, being away from family and friends, and but have the calling and desire to teach and work and spread the gospel. We thank you for that. And help us this morning to enjoy and to be able to really have a good time listening and understand. In your name we pray. Amen.
Yeah, I'll just give you a little brief story about me, but before we get into Cambodia, I think so. I didn't initially grow up in a Christian family, but when I was 12 years old, my aunt invited my sister and I to youth group, and it was through that my sister and I, and actually my whole family, ended up becoming saved. And I was attending a very mission-minded church, and so from the age of 13, I've had a desire to be a part of missions. But it wasn't until my mid-20s that the Lord took me to the Philippines, and I served there with an organization called OMF as an English teacher in a tribal village, and then went back to pursue a nursing degree in hopes to go back to the Philippines. As I was preparing to go back after nursing school, the Lord closed that door and kept me here in the States for about 12 years and then led me to Cambodia. So it's a place that I never expected that I would ever be, but God had a plan in it, and now it's become home. So I believe you guys met my teammate a month ago, last month, Brennan. So I serve on the same team as Becca and Brennan McCafferty in Cambodia, and I'm also in Phnom Penh. And as you know, Cambodia is bordered. It's a Southeast Asia, bordered by Thailand, Laos, and Vietnam. It is a primarily Buddhist country with less than 1% Christianity. And so one thing I've learned, too, in living in Cambodia is it's actually a mixture of Hinduism, ancestor worship, animism, all blanketed under the term Buddhism. And so a lot of people ask what was one of my shocks kind of moving there, and it was learning how deeply rooted the Buddhism is in the culture. And so you have a temple almost within every mile. Most people, historically, I think it's changing a little bit now, but historically, people didn't know you by the street you lived on. They knew you by the temple you lived near. But then you also see, these are called spirit houses, and you see them in front of all businesses and all homes. There's two different kinds. One is that in front of the businesses, it's usually to bring in, hopefully, the good spirits to appease them so that they'll bless your business. But then family ones sometimes have the remains of family members in it because you're taking care of them in the afterlife so that they'll bless you too. This is our Cambodian team. There are, we call them units. We are called units. And so there are 7 units on our team, which is 5 families and 2 singles. We also have 2 local partners, so then that would initially put us up to like 9 units. But we've got a mixture of like ministry. So on the next slide, I show our like vision, and our vision is to see a Christ-exalting indigenous church planting movement. And how we do that is equipping Khmer pastors, discipling Khmer believers, and serving the church. But we also have other ministries that reach out to the Khmer community as well, like my teammates Mark and Laura. Mark started a clinic in Cambodia and you'll see more about that. And he does a residency program. He started it with a local partner. Him and his wife have also started a dorm that helps rescued girls from trafficking. Then you have John Gim. He does business as mission, so he helps try and collaborate with our like pastors or pastors' wives who have businesses outside of the church to help them thrive and be like a God-honoring ministry. And then Luke and Soka are in the village, and they do ministry with, like, teaching English, music, sports ministry. So we've got a variety of different things that kind of go on within our team. And that's the vision and mission that I went through. This was just sent to me a week ago from one of my teammates. So currently within our CPA, so it's the Cambodian Presbytery Association. So there is a presbytery within the Khmer community with our churches and our church plants. We've got 12 church plants within Cambodia right now, all Khmer led, and in our missionaries kind of help oversee and facilitate and just kind of equip them. So we've got 7 within Phnom Penh. We've got 3 in the city of Kampot, which is over here near kind of like the ocean. And then we've got 2 in Kampong Spu. And so I am a member of the Khmer Christian Church. It's the same one as Becca and Brennan as well. And then Pray Tom, this is actually Pray Tom, where he goes and he helps train and equip a pastor out there named Pat. I'm pretty sure he probably shared about that as well. So this is Khmer Christian Church. This is our new building. This is the church that I worship at. This is one of our main pastors, Pastor Samat. The church building has our offices in it, but it also has a dorm for college students, and there's about 30 students that live there currently. About 25 of them are female. This is a picture of our whole church on Easter last year. So my first year, so I've been in Cambodia now 2 years. My first year was focused on language study. This is the Khmer alphabet. These are the consonants. These are the vowels. But the vowels all have 2 different sounds. And so I've had many people ask me what's the difference between the blue and the red. The blue is what they call series 1, and the red is series 2. So they have a different sound. So initially, series 1 should match up with the series 1 vowel sound, and series 2 with the series 2 vowel sound. But there are also different, like, marks that can go above it and different grammar rules that can make a series 1 take on a series 2 sound instead. So it is a very challenging, difficult language. I'm still learning and probably will be learning as long as I live in Cambodia. So I do have some materials up here for you to see. There's a Bible that has both the English and the Khmer into it. One thing with reading Khmer too is they do not put spaces between words. And so you have to kind of learn where one word ends and one begins. These are 2 of my language teachers. This one, Lena, she is a believer, so I learned my Christian Khmer from her. And this is Nari, she is not currently a believer, but she has been asking me lots of questions about Christianity, and I've been able to share the gospel with her, and so it's been kind of exciting that she's been asking questions. So I initially started getting involved in ministry towards the end of last year. In February of this year, I started hosting what I call the KCC Girls Fellowship. And so it's open to all the girls that live in the dorm at the church that I am a member of. And what we do is we have, on Sunday evenings, I have them over for dinner, worship, and fellowship. And then we do a study together as well. We started going through the Psalms, but then initially started transitioning to topics of, like, dating, not dating non-believers, like just topical type stuff that pertain to things that they're going through in life right now. Through that, many of the girls have asked me to equip them in how to read the Bible effectively, because most of them do not know how to read the Bible, or they don't. They just don't. And so this is one of our dinners. So we usually sit on the floor so that it fits everybody. So I'm very thankful. So I do have a roommate, but I'm very thankful for the space that God has provided. I prayed for a big apartment, which isn't common to find in Cambodia. So I was looking for a big space that was not expensive to be able to host these fellowships. And so God graciously provided. When we had a team visit a couple months ago, their women on the team joined the fellowship, and I had 25 women in the apartment. And it was really great. So yeah, we do like crafts together, play games together, eat together, and then worship together. So yeah, through that, some of the girls have asked for private Bible study lessons. And so actually this one is, these two girls were preparing for their TOEFL exam, which is an intensive English exam for them to be able to study at certain like universities. And so I was helping those two. They're very proficient in English. These girls are actually two of our translators most of the time. So this is a picture of them here. They surprised me on my birthday. They showed up, and birthdays are a pretty big thing in Cambodia, and so they just showed up at my door with a birthday cake and sang to me and surprised me. So this is what I usually do when we do the private Bible studies. Again, we eat food together. I provide a meal for them. This is actually my teammate Luke and Soka's daughter, Hannah. So whenever she's kind of in the city, she joins the girls' fellowships or Bible studies. So I put this picture in here to show, initially, I believe that discipleship goes beyond the sharing of the gospel. I believe it's about living life together in light of the gospel. And so for me, that means going to dental appointments with the students who are terrified and holding their hand through a procedure, or like when they have to go to the doctor. It's because most of the girls that I do discipleship with come from the village of Ongche, where Luke and Soka have their ministry. They've grown up there. They've grown up in their ministry. And they come back, or they come into Phnom Penh to study on scholarships. And so their families are in the village. And so when they need somebody to be there for them, that's what I do. I also go out to the village, initially try to go out there when the students go out there frequently. So this is my teammates, Luke and Soka. And when the students go out there for like specific holidays or school breaks, I also try to go out there so that I can spend time with them and spend time visiting their families. So when I'm out there also, Luke has asked me to fill in sometimes to do English teaching, but also like doing Bible lessons with the students as well. So I kind of help in those aspects too. These are some of the house visits. So this is one of our college students that I do ministry with. This is her family, and they hosted us for lunch. This is another one of the students. And this was one of our summer interns who came for the summer just to, you know, get experience with missions. This is one of the girls, Dalin. So she is one of the translators that I pointed out earlier. Her mom has a business where she makes this sticky rice thing. They steam it and grill it. And it's got like a banana in the center of the rice. It's really good. And so I got to experience learning how to make it, which I made the family laugh a lot because I certainly made a lot of mistakes. So I also serve 2 days a week at Family Clinic. Family Clinic was started by my teammate, Dr. Mark, and his partner, Dr. Nara, in 2017. It is a clinic that is open 24 hours, 7 days a week, and it's open to anyone, if they can pay or not. They also do, so Mark does a lot of ministry with anti-trafficked girls, and so he has a partnership with a lot of the organizations that do the rescuing, and so many of the girls even come to the clinic for care once they've been rescued and continue follow-up care there. I serve there 2 days a week as a nurse. Initially, I was doing ministry of, so this is sorry, with lunch. We eat lunch together every day. Every day that they're there, the staff, everyone eats at the same time together. And so this is most of the staff. Mark has a ministry where he does a residency program, so he helps train and equip Khmer doctors. This is one of our doctors. She's a gynecologist and a women's health specialist. This is actually the daughter of one of our other medical staff, our midwife. And then this is Mayin, and I'm going to share a story about her during the church service. So I was doing some medical teaching with the nurses. So these are, I was teaching here. I was teaching about the bones in the body again. And so medical care in Cambodia is not like it is here. And there's just always room to learn and grow. And so, with some cultural barriers and just some difficult challenges, I have taken a step away from the nursing teaching, but may step back into that role in the future. I also would do a Bible study with the staff twice a month I was going. And so these two girls are believers. Tria is actually married to a Khmer pastor. Mayin is not. And then these three here are also not believers. So most of the, not all the staff at the clinic are believers. And so we have an opportunity to share the gospel with them too. And they have been around Christianity through Pastor Mark. And then Dr. Nara, his partner, she actually was the daughter, or is the daughter of a pastor as well. So she's not common for Cambodia because most of them are first generation believers, but she is actually a second generation because her parents were believers. We do medical outreaches as well. So we initially, our medical outreaches are partnered with one of our church plants. And so we set it up with the pastor of the church plant. It's an opportunity to expose the community to the church. And so while also giving free medical care, we collaborate with the clinic that is in that area. They're invited to join, but we also want to make sure that there's follow-up once the patients are seen. It's not like we go in and do medical care and pull out and there's no follow-up. But the main purpose is to expose them to the church, get them to know the pastors, and the pastors pray for them and share the gospel and just hope that the community will one day come to the church. So we have stations usually set up. We do check-in, registration, and then they go see doctors, and then they have pharmacy back here for anything that they need. And then before they leave, they share the gospel with them. They give them a tract. I actually have a tract up here that was translated into Khmer. I asked my teammate, I'm like, is this a really good one to hand out? And he said, it actually really is. Explains things very well for a Khmer person. And so they give those out and pray for them. Okay, so life in Cambodia. So I primarily ride in a tuk-tuk. I have not got the courage to drive yet. So if I were to drive, it would be a moto, and motos are a little less protective than a car, and so I still just stick by tuk-tuks. I know Brennan had shared, Ben and Lucy love these. The kids usually love riding in tuk-tuks, but this is my main means of transportation. This is what it looks like to move things. So when I was first setting up my apartment, one of my Khmer friends took me to buy a bookshelf. And this is how we carried it back. I didn't believe it at first when she was at, they were bringing it for me to, I said, oh, we're taking it like this? So I did pray a lot riding back from that for protection. So, and then this guy we saw, we were passing him on a tuk-tuk, and these are all beds stacked up on top of each other. This is me. I was learning to cook. So this was during a language lesson. The recipe was written in Khmer, and I had to follow the instructions with my language teacher. This was when the girl surprised me for my birthday. They also came, and we made a dessert together. I can't remember the name of it, but it's where they take rice flour, and they roll it into balls. And then it's in coconut milk and brown sugar and pandan, which is like a flavoring, that they boil it all together, so it's like a dessert. But the coloring, how they get the coloring is they squeeze out like the juice of a fruit. So the red one is from like a red dragon fruit, and the orange one is from a squash. But yeah, they take the coloring from different fruits and stuff to dye it. So these I like to call traveling markets. You see a lot of them. So this one is fruit. This guy is actually walking, but sometimes you see the motorized one. These are just any, you know, garbage buckets, things like you need like that. This is the meat market, the traveling meat market. Then you've got clothing. One of my other missionary friends, she likes to call this Walmart on wheels. And then this one was a unique one. I've never seen the two cows, and this was in the middle of Phnom Penh, driving the cart. Typically, it's a motorized one, but this one, she actually had the two cows, and so I had to snap a quick picture of that. We also have the open market. So an open market kind of will look like this. It's got different rows you can go down, and so this is your fresh vegetables. And then you've also got your meat and your fish. So I usually, they do have some supermarkets in Cambodia. I usually buy my meat from the supermarkets because I don't know how to tell. Khmer are really good. They know how to tell if it's fresh or not. And so if a Khmer person's buying for me, I do trust them. But if I'm going to be buying it... A lot of the open markets also have little restaurants that you can, little stalls that you can eat at. And then they all have, like, this is one of the big tourist ones that has a lot of goods that you can buy just to take back home for gifts and stuff. So my friend in her newsletters likes to put unique pictures spotted in Cambodia, things that you would not normally see and things that you question if they are safe. So this one is, he's fixing an electrical issue while sitting on the power lines, and the ladder is, this one I was passing a tuk-tuk driver and he had the hammock there with his child in it. This is a gas tank for cooking. And then this is a moto carrying a moto. So a lot of times you will see, kind of like I had the bookshelf, people transport a lot of bulky or big things on motos because that's the only way. I've seen people with like car doors or like a glass window. Yeah, you see a lot of unique things. I think that's my presentation. Yeah. But up here I have, if you want to see, I've got prayer cards and magnets and bookmark. I could pass this around if it's easier just to give you a glimpse of the Bible. I've got some magnets if anyone wants to take one of these. Yeah, so I can pass these. These are the tracks that you can, you want to pass those around? Catechism that was translated into Khmer. So there is an organization called Plovput that does a lot of translation. They do a lot of like Nine Marks translation books, John Piper, and a lot of Reformed. So that's where we get some of our materials for the students as well. But you can see. And then this is, you can compare the English to the Khmer. And then I have some, these are traditional Khmer scarves. So they wear them multiple ways. It's called a kroma. But I mean, you can use it like a shawl. You can do like this. You do see a lot of men wear them just like this, though. I've worn it on tuk-tuks like this, and you'll see other. And then a lot of times in the village, you'll see women wear it like this. Older women will wear it like this. More traditional ones here, and feel free to take one if you like. These are going to be the more, this is like my silk. So silk is, there's a lot of silk in Cambodia and it's really cheap. So I brought a couple of those just to show different, but this is going to be your more common, more traditional one. And then this is actually a traditional Khmer skirt. It's actually normally worn with like a very dressy blouse. They always wear these when for weddings, for presentations, for graduations, things like that. But so common in Cambodia too is to have somebody who cleans your home, but they become like a family member to you because you're providing somebody a job. So that was something I had to adjust to because I was like, I don't need somebody to clean, you know, my house. But it's a concept of you're providing a job for a person, and that's the culture there. And the woman who cleans for me, I call her Om, which is like older auntie. She actually gave this to me like 2 days before I left. And so I told her I would wear it and present. So, yeah.
Is that like the silky fabric or?
It's a different fabric. So it's not the silky.
Oh, okay.
Actually, what? I should find out what it's made from.
Okay, yeah, it just looked kind of shiny to me, so yeah. I thought it was silk. I don't know.
Yeah.
You want to hold up some of the magnets so they can see?
Oh, yeah, I can just pass this stuff around, too. Oh, these ones. So yeah. I've got two different, so these are handmade. I like to try and find gifts that I know that are going to help support a local person. So there's a guy that hand carves these. And so I ordered a bunch of them from him to kind of put out when I speak. And yeah, so I'll provide something for him. But yeah, there's two different ones. And then I've got, yeah, prayer cards, bookmarks, magnets. I have a sign-up sheet if you want to receive like my newsletter emails. So
maybe hold up your bulletin board too.
Oh, this one?
Yeah.
Yeah, my dad had this made so that I could display it. So this again is our team photo. One of the local partners of Gia in South Korea, they have two kids and they're kind of like family to me. And so this is their little girl. That's how we meet here. This was when I was teaching English in the village. It was one of our medical outreaches. This was at the hospital after one of our students. She was in a motorbike accident, but she's okay. And my trip took rides. This was just walking down the street with one of the other girls. So one of the students snapped these pictures for me. I didn't even know she was taking them. This is the fellowship. We're doing our Bible study. And then, this is me making the, I have a couple of videos where you can see I have them laughing. So, putting them on the wall. Yeah. Yeah, I was sharing with Janice and Floyd earlier too. I had a language story.
Yeah, pull back to your microphone so I can all hear.
So, So when I first got there, I started going to a language school, and I went through level 4, but then I stepped down. So there's 10, but I stepped away just because the classroom was challenging for me. I do better one-on-one, so I transitioned to one-on-one tutor. But when I was still in the class, it was a day where we were learning, like, I wake up, I brush my teeth, I do this, this. So we had to write down what we do in one full day, and we were going to present it to the class in Khmer. And so we hadn't learned sequencing words yet, and so I asked my teacher, I said, Lokru, which means teacher for male. I was like, what is the word for then? So he gave me a word. So I did my whole thing. I get up and I do my presentation. And I was like, here's an example. I'll say the first sentence, like, Rot ngai knyum krok pekeng mong pram kon la. So, like, I wake up every morning at 5:30. Then I put that word in and said, then, you know, brush my teeth. Then I eat breakfast. Then just kind of, at the end of the presentation, he said, bong. Bong is like older sister. Did you ask for the word then? I said, yeah. He said, I gave you the word dance. So I said, in the morning I wake up at 5:30, I dance. I brush my teeth, I dance. I eat breakfast, I dance. I get a tuk-tuk, I dance. So I just chuckled and I said, I guess I like to dance. And the ironic thing one of my teammates was teasing me about is, I actually don't like to dance. So, yeah. They range from like 18 to 20. Well, some of the post-grad students that still live there are like 23, 24. There are a couple that still live there that are post-grad. But like the oldest students are going to be like 21, 22. Cambodia is a very young country, both in age and Christianity. So I don't know how much you know about their historical culture, but they're about in the 70s, there was a genocide, and where more than 2 million people were killed, and it was mostly all the adults. And so more than 60% of the population is under the age of 30. Yeah. Yeah. So I've only had experience with the teachers and stuff that I've like kind of witnessed to. And so you do get some of that. I know one of the students, so many of the students that have shared from the village, there is this misconception of Christians too, of so a lot of the students that have shared their story from Lukensoka's village, their parents didn't want them to become a Christian because they believed that you didn't respect your parents. But also that when your family dies, you don't mourn, but you're joyful. And so, but now, like, over the years, Lukensoka have been there for, like, 13 years. And so most of the students' parents are okay with them being, because they've seen the moral change in them, because they think the moral is good, right, with Buddhism. But they still don't. It's not their religion, but it's their children's religion. So,
how far to the country does the missions go? The rural area.
So,
organization really in the rural area.
Yeah. So Lukensoka's is about, so Kampot, the two churches that are in, or is it three? Three churches that are in the Kampot area. That's about 3 hours outside of Phnom Penh. And then Kampong Spu is about an hour and a half to 2 hours outside of Phnom Penh. And then Lukensoka, where they are, it's about 2.5 hours. Yeah. And when you say, like, Lukensoka, the remote village, like, it's really remote where they live. So most people don't have, like, running water.
Electricity.
I think some more than others, but a lot don't. And then I wish I would have included in my, like a traditional Khmer house that you see in the village. It's actually like a wooden house up on stilts. And a lot of like that was because they would put like their farm animals and stuff underneath. But also most of them, they don't like always sleep in the house. Depends on how cool it is, because it's actually cooler to sleep under the house. So,
So you think the Christian influence is critical with the young people that you're training as they go back to the villages that other gospel can be spread to feel?
Yeah.
It's not going to be by Western missionaries necessarily.
No, so our goal is to train and equip. So like my goal with like Bible study is hopefully that these girls will eventually be the ones that are doing these studies. Yeah. I think in Cambodia, Western people can go anywhere. I don't think there's anywhere that's not really safe for, because it is right now open. But I lived in the Philippines before, and so I think I felt safer in Cambodia because there were a lot more risks in where I lived in the Philippines. And so, like, I think the bigger thing was just worrying about, like, bag snatching and pickpocketing, and that seems to be the most, like, the biggest crime that you really have to worry about is, like, thievery in Cambodia. Whereas when I lived in the Philippines, I lived in Mindanao, and that island, there's a lot of turmoil between Christians and Muslims, and so there was the risk of being kidnapped, and there was the risk of just a lot of other violence that was happening. So for me, because I'd lived in that place, I think I felt a little bit more safer in Phnom Penh, but there were moments that I know that I had, like, as a single female, just being a little concerned, yeah.
Is the place where you live, is that a gated community?
It's a gated apartment, so, yeah. With a security guard. Because as a foreigner, you do stand out. So you do want to be a little bit cautious of where you live. And yeah.
You mentioned human trafficking. Is it an issue or a problem?
Yeah, it is. And the sad reality, too, of Cambodia is it's known as the pediatric capital of the world. So we've seen, like, Mark, I shouldn't say we, because he's seen girls as young as 3. Being rescued. Yeah. And it's quite prevalent, like, when you go out after a certain hour, like at 8 o'clock when I'm going home and I took or something, you see the pockets of places where girls are just waiting. Yeah. So my teammates, Mark and Laura, our organization doesn't do any rescue work. There are other organizations that rescue, do the rehabilitation programs, and then Mark and Laura work more on the reintegration, so reintegrating them into society, and then getting them involved in a church. Yeah. So some of the girls that I actually do disciple that on the Sunday evening fellowship come from their freedom ministries, but it's not known within the group, their kind of background and story. So if they want to share it, we share it, but because there is a stigma culturally with, yeah, but.
Okay. We'll have closing prayer.
You want me to close?
Yeah.
Okay. Father God, I just thank you for just this day to come and worship you together as brothers and sisters in Christ. I thank you for just the opportunity to share the work that you are doing in Cambodia, Lord God. I just pray that you would continue to work in such a spiritually dark country, Lord God, but not just through the missionaries, but through the local believers, Lord God, that your name would be known, and it would be a nation that bows before the one true God, and that it wouldn't become a Buddhist country anymore, but it would become a Christian nation, Lord. I just pray for Floyd as he preaches today. I pray that you would open our hearts to the message that you want us to receive through his sermon, Lord God, and just be with us all today as we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.